This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Did the Bears get it right by signing former two-time Pro Bowl returner Devin Duvernay to a one-year deal? Duvernay, 27, was great for 4 years with the Baltimore Ravens and only lasted a year down in Jacksonville with the Jaguars.
I think it's a good signing. I think that he is the better of the return guys that were out there. So the Bears brought in Mecole Hardman, and they brought in Rondell Moore, and Hardman signed in Green Bay, and Moore signed in Minnesota. So you knew those guys were going to be in the division, and you're kind of like, yeah, what? And then word broke that they had signed Devin Duvernay. So I think he was a good player. I think that, you know, he left as a free agent, and he was trying to chase more usage as much as more money when he went to Jacksonville, and that didn't work out for him, and there's a lot of change going on, so they've moved on from him, and it was only a two-year deal, but it's good that they got a guy and that maybe he can do more than that. I think he's a good return guy, and they did well to get him. It's a nice little one-year deal. There's not a lot of money at stake. It's good.
I agree. I think it's all about, can he do something other than that? Is he taking up a spot every Sunday or Thursday, you know, whenever they play, to do more than just one job? You would like that to be the case. But again, somebody that's been a two-time Pro Bowler, so arguably the best at what they do, why is that a bad thing? That only seems like a good thing.
Yeah, because he was also a Ravens draft pick, and you like Ravens draft picks. They have a good track record. Third rounder who moves on to Jacksonville for a usage thing, I think. You're right. Now he comes to Chicago, and how does he fit in Ben Johnson's offense? That won't be his primary purpose, but I do think it will be an important one. You put him back there in punt returns, and now you have a guy that's able to be an asset in gaining some hidden yardage that you don't want to take for granted. The Bears are really doing a nice job of strategically addressing these specific needs on the special teams, not guys whose names are blockbuster with, you know, Travis Homer and the Tavarius Moore, all these things that guys who are depth guys. This is probably a depth part of your special teams. It's an important part, though, because he can you know, be a threat, and you want that. If he's on the offense, that's a bonus. Also, just a shout out, it was last week we're talking about free agency in the second and third waves, and yep. Ruthie Polinsky, partner at the Big Pro Football Show, was in here for you, Mully, and she called this. She said it was going to happen. A week later, it happens.
That's good.
That was funny.
Bernstein and Harris.
It's a good question.
That's the voice of Chris Chelios and the sound effect provided by Ruthie Polinsky. Pick six, it's brought to you by Finishing Chicago. Great finishes start with contractors from finishingchicago.com. How do you feel about the Cubs' Tokyo failures this morning? Were they simply swept by the best team in baseball over two games, or are they simply not an elite team? Did they give the NL Central hope?
I don't think I feel much better about it today than I did yesterday. I understand everybody that it's a long season. Everybody understands that I own a calendar too. It's March 20th. The season started on March 18th. The hope is that you're still playing in October. And I said we may look back and if they lose the division by a game or miss the playoffs by a game, you look back at March 18th. You can still have a long view of the season, maintain your perspective, not be irrational, and be very disappointed that the Cubs are returning home without a victory. Lots of souvenirs, lifelong memories. It was a terrific trip. We can all agree on that. They're 0-2. That stinks. I'm entitled to be ticked off about that even a day later. I don't like the fact that Matt Shaw was at the plate at the end of the game and Dansby Swanson's on deck and why Gage Workman didn't get off the bench and didn't swing the bat. And I still don't know why he didn't use Matthew Boyd and why Jameson Taillon was on this special list. If you're going to use a couple pitchers, all these things are fair questions. It's baseball season. These games count. Second guessing's part of it. Doesn't mean it ruined my day, week, or month. I'll look back. Great. Great experience. But yeah, it's still a little miffed.
I'm a little less salty about it this morning than I was right after the game yesterday when we got to jump right at it. We recorded an episode of Fly the W podcast yesterday. My buddy Crawley kind of talked me off the ledge. But here's what really faces the Cubs is can they somehow get through April and be a 500 baseball team? If you haven't looked, the April schedule is an absolute gauntlet. And we'll start, I know the season's going to start a week from today. Four games to start against the Diamondbacks, who are good. Maybe the best starting pitching in all of baseball. Two with the A's. Padres. Rangers. Dodgers again. Padres. D-backs again. Dodgers again. Phillies. Pirates. If you can somehow get through that and on May 1 be 500, then they'll be okay. But if they're like six games under 500 come game one, I'm going to be back to very salty as I was after games one and two.
I wasn't really... I thought I had decent perspective yesterday. It is a very long season and things will shift and change. It was disappointing. You really hoped that they would get the split, but you know, that's a really good Dodgers team, and I think everyone knew it, and I think we all expected it was going to be difficult for them. I think they're an elite team. I think they can be an elite team. I think the problem is that when you start with losses, and again, it's because of who you're playing, but they didn't have all their players either. That was an opportunity to kind of take advantage of a chance, and they didn't quite get it done, and it's a long season. But I would say that, you know, when you don't win initially and when you start slow, what happens is you do give everybody around you a little bit of hope. So I hope that they haven't made the division feel like they're not really going to be as good as we think they could be. I'm still sticking with my 90 or bust because I think that's the situation they're in. But, Dustin, you went down to 80. I think you had them at 102 at one point. Where are you at this morning?
That had to be the caffeine or lack of caffeine
never,
talking.
I never had them at 102. I did. I think I did say when we heard Pecota. Pecota was 92?
You said 92. I think you were at 92 at one point.
Yeah, and then I think I was down to 86. Then I was at 80. I think I'm 83 this morning. 83.
Okay. So
it's a good night's sleep. Added three victories.
Yeah. Moving back up just takes time.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes. You?
The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes.
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's a wonderful question, one that I've been thinking about.
We'll ask Bruce a bunch of wonderful questions at 9 this morning. Which is greater, the gap between the Cubs and the Dodgers, or the one between the Cubs and the rest of the National League Central?
Well, if I had to pick between it, I would say it is the gap between the Cubs and the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers have all the players in the world. They've got all of the really good players, and they've got all the good pitchers, and they've got a lot of really good things. And I think that that gap between them and the Cubs is probably wider than the gap between other teams in the division and the Cubs. And I don't mean that as an insult in any way. I just think the Dodgers are that good. You know, they're coming off a World Series, and you could argue they got better from one year to the next. So it's hard to sit here and say that, you know, there will be a team or two in the division that will be having good months. I'll say months. So I think the Cubs are the best team in the division, but I don't know that the gap is as wide as it is with the Dodgers versus the rest of baseball.
And it might, that's a great point, Molly. It's not just the gap between the Cubs and the Dodgers. It's the Dodgers and the rest of baseball. I mean, they went out and got the most sought-after free agent pitcher. And then what did they follow that up with? The second most sought-after free agent pitcher. To an already very good pitching staff. I mean, their fifth starter would be most teams two, at least, at the very least, if not their ace. And there's still a question if the Cubs even have an ace. Now, the National League Central and the American League Central are the two worst divisions in all of baseball. Question is, maybe a future pick six question, which division is worse? Right? Is the American League version or the National League version of the Central the worst of the two divisions?
AL Central or NL Central?
Right.
Oh, definitely NL Central.
Is worse than the AL Central?
Oh, yes.
Okay, well.
The
worst team in all Centrals is in the AL Central.
But look at the Tigers, Guardians, and Royals aren't messing around. They all have legitimate playoff goals. Okay. Yes. Without a doubt. You can't name three playoff possibilities in the NL Central. That's a heap of rebuilding teams. I think
good catch there.
Not have to catch anything.
A heap of rebuilding teams.
Heap of rebuilding teams that are struggling. And that's why the gap between the Cubs and the Dodgers is a lot wider than the one between the Cubs and the rest of their division. Because the Cubs haven't really proven and earn the benefit of the doubt just yet. Right. They need to win the division and get back to the playoffs before that is removed. Dodgers won 98 games in a World Series and got better. You mentioned their pitching rotation. Ohtani, at some point, could be rejoining that rotation. The Cubs' ace, if they even have one, would be the Dodgers' fifth starter. You take, where would Imanaga be on the Dodgers' rotation? Justin Steele? He'd be their fifth starter. Fourth or fifth starter. So the Dodgers just have so much talent that you can see them being easily a 100-plus win team, and that depending on how they treat September, planning for the playoffs and another World Series. And the Cubs have to worry about the Pirates being the upstart Pirates of Paul Skenes and company. They have to worry about what Terry Francona will do to the Reds and all that young talent. Now, the Cardinals haven't really tried to win in the offseason, but the Cardinals. And then, oh, by the way, the Brewers will find a way to compete and be pesky because they're moving around their infield. So, yeah, if you're the Cubs, you need to worry about your business in the division and that how narrow that gap really is. And hope next time they play the Dodgers, they're compromised even more. They did what they did to the Cubs without Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman.
Oh, my God, what a question. What a question.
Voice of Joe Fortenbaugh, pencil paper out and ready for your brackets and for your investments Thursday and Friday, 7:44. Joe will be here. What's your pick for the White Sox opening day shortstop? Who will get the most ABs there in 2025? Is it possible the answer isn't in camp yet?
Well, I think that last part, is that because of Nicky Lopez still being out there and being a guy that could join the I don't know if that is the answer. I don't know if the Sox have the answer to that question that is anything but temporary right now. A lot of it feels very temporary. Chase Mydroth is the guy who came over from the Crochet deal that is promising but hasn't hit a ton in spring training, but he has played there the most. I suppose he's the answer to opening day. Jacob Amaya, boy, he's not hitting at all. Is he hitting his weight? Can he hit his weight? Is that going to be a new threshold for Sox infielders? Hit your weight. I don't think he's the guy that you necessarily look at as a long-term, certainly anything more than a Band-Aid. So I'll say Mydroth opening day, but I'm still going to hold out. I guess this is more hope than evidence or proof. Coastal Montgomery will have the most at-bats of any White Sox shortstop in 2025, even though, disappointingly, he will begin his season at AAA Charlotte.
So Chase will start opening day. I think that's where it's pointing. Is that a fair question? We've made a big deal about, right, and rightfully so, the opening day starter, who mm-hmm. follows the mm-hmm. opening day starter. Mm-hmm. Is that a valid question? Who's starting a shortstop, Skip? Like, is that something Bruce Levine, you know, could ask without getting barked at by somebody from the White Sox? And if not now, when would you play Colson Montgomery? Again, once the clock hits the point where it's not hurting his contract and his future and all that business side of things. If Colson Montgomery's not playing over 35th and Shields this year, then something's probably wrong with Colson Montgomery.
I wish it was a business reason he was down there.
Yeah, I think there's something wrong with Colson Montgomery. Right. I do.
Too bad then.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I do think there's something wrong, and I'm not sure that that is going to happen. What's going on with Josh Rojas? Is he... He's got like a...
He could be coming back.
Yeah, but he's got like
he's got a little injury, though. But he's hurt.
But they upgrade the injury from like a smaller thing to a bigger thing? I don't know. But that could be a guy that, you know, otherwise it would be Mydroth. And I guess, does that mean Lenin Sosa would start at second base?
Oh, boy, that's
base?
Right. He's still there. Yeah, I guess Lenin Sosa might be your starting second baseman.
Yeah,
then.
I don't know. But you would think that they need to figure that out in the next week.
They got a week.
Yeah. I worry about Colson Montgomery. I worry about the lack of development or the kind of whatever wall he seems to have hit and the back issue and the whole bit. I'm not sure how that's going to work out. He had real nice... little moment in kind of the Arizona Fall League, and that's all you can really say about him in the last two
years.
That's
it. The back spasms are back in terms of Josh Rojas has not been ruled out for opening day. He does have a hairline fracture in his big toe.
Yeah, but that had been, he has like a little thing with his big toe, and then it became a hairline fracture. Like it started out as sort of like a small, that's an upgraded injury is what I'm saying. So that's worrisome. Because he's a guy that has played.
Those things don't typically get better.
No, they don't.
Hairline fractures in your big toe.
It's the kind of thing that it's like they keep saying stuff like, well, it's just pain management.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if a lot of people have managed pain. It's not the NFL. And I don't know that that's easier said than done.
If you got a bad big toe, you can affect the rest of your day.
A bad big toe is a bad thing to have.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Not, I'm speaking from experience.
Molly, there's a ton to that question.
As the tournament action heats up, College Hoops coverage here on The Score brought to you by Bet365. Are you ready for the NCAA tournament to begin in earnest today? Don't have a favorite part of the bracket? Are there as many teams as you want to see as teams you're cheering for this year?
I think that there are... there are a limited number of teams that I'm actually kind of cheering for. It's just the way things have worked out. I'm not a huge SEC basketball guy. I love the part of the bracket. I love the idea that you got all these like old venerable coaches ready to kind of pounce on each other. I think that is super fun. And I think Rick Pitino is going to be the last man standing of that group because somebody sent me the Rick Pitino thing where he goes off on his team about how you have to understand adversity.
Yeah, and it was great.
You don't shy away from
vintage
it.
Pitino.
It was just fantastic. I listened to it about five times. I might listen to it right before I watch the first game. Now that they're beginning in earnest.
I know
the tournament's already begun.
Mm-hmm.
But this is where it gets where you can just sink in, sit down, and absorb nothing but game after game of basketball.
Love
it's just one of the greatest days of the year, frankly. It's the opening of the NCAA tournament is one of the great sports weekends, period, end of story. And if you haven't taken the day off, come down with a little tickle in your throat or something, and you can still go home and
now you're
watch
talking.
Everything. I like that idea. Yeah, we have no reason not to work, and we enjoy working, so it's easy for us.
Go back to bed.
For the rest of you.
Keep the radio on.
There you go.
And Friday, another good reason to take off, Circa Sports Illinois and The Score. They'll get you ready for the tournament over at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village. It's going to be Spiegel and Grody, 2-6. All the games, buckets of Miller Lite, Coors Light, Real Time Sports, sponsored by Circa Sports Illinois, sports betting the way it should be. There are some great games today. There are some games that if you're filling out your bracket right now, I had a hard time trying to figure out where to go with some of these games. Today, it's just an awesome, you know, Kansas-Arkansas, Gonzaga-Georgia, BYU-VCU. Later on, there are quite a few people that love Drake against Missouri.
Love Drake.
You know, UC San Diego, Michigan is supposed to be a really good game. And the West is the toughest part. If this plays to any kind of form,
mm-hmm. It won't.
If it does, you possibly have Florida, Maryland, Texas Tech, St. John's in your elite, yeah. You know, in that part of it. Right, and that's really tough. That's really tough. Wow. And I have my champion coming out of the West in Florida.
Chuck.
Who's the guy who has two twos and two ones is going to tell another guy he's got too much chuck.
I love this question.
How about Rock Chalk Jayhawk? They play later today.
Yeah, that's right. Bill Self, back in action. We'll have to issue a statement after this one. Love this question because it's all emotion today. The tournament is all about heart over head, right? So you have some teams you really want to see succeed. For me, Duke, John Shire, all right? Akron, upset, John Gross. I like the coaches. Michigan State, Izzo. Who doesn't love Izzo in March? Purdue, Matt Painter, the one of the few coaches out there still developing talent at a high level at a major college. Good for him. And then the Drew factor. Scott and Bryce, Baylor, playing Mississippi State, Bryce with Grand Canyon U. I got to root for those guys. Now, the teams I would like to see struggle and maybe get upset and ousted maybe in the first round, and you see them maybe like, oh, what happened? Bruce Pearl and Auburn. See ya. Bye. I know that won't happen, but I'd like to see it. UConn and Danley Hurley, stop crying. Go Porter Moser. There's not a bigger Oklahoma fan this weekend than me in Chicago. UCLA, I just enough of that coach. I just they're in the Big Ten.
Wow.
And then I still think Houston's going to go a long way, and it's still going to make me a little cringy. Kelvin Sampson has obviously earned the respect that he enjoys at the college basketball level. He's an elite coach. I give him a lot of credit, but something about him just still kind of rubs me the wrong way.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
What did you think of the Bulls' effort against the Suns last night? Is a backcourt of Kobe White and Trey Jones the best the Bulls have had this season? Wow.
Well, look at the possibilities. I mean, it's really, is that hard to believe? Trey Jones, this
last something special.
Last night aside, I mean, he was playing against his brother, and that was kind of a cool thing. It was the second time he played against him in a Bulls uniform this year. The Suns have been an opponent twice in the last month. Trey Jones plays it with pace. He does everything that Billy Donovan asked him to do. He's got a high basketball IQ. I could see them wanting to keep him in free agency. Might be too expensive. Who else? Who are they going to get rid of?
Should they have extended him rather than Lonzo Ball?
Might have been a better use of your money, honestly. I hate to say that. I like Lonzo Ball in terms of what he brings to the table, but it's availability. And Trey Jones shows up. And Trey Jones and Kobe White do play pretty well together because Trey Jones is your true prototypical attack, penetrate, dish, point guard. Kobe White is your spot-up, two-guard shooting guy. So Lonzo Ball, I don't know how he fits if he comes back this year. Trey Jones has kind of claimed that spot. Io's hurt. He's coming back. You can't have room for everybody. The Bulls have a backlog in the backcourt. But I like everything that Trey Jones has done since he came over at the trade deadline. And last night against the Suns, they just didn't have it. The Suns were playing at home. Booker was the guy. And, you know,
They lost well.
They've got a blue, you know, the Suns have multiple blue chip players.
Yep.
I mean, and Devin Booker's included, and he scored 41 last night. But David, I mean, so did you answer the question directly?
No.
Is this the best backcourt the Bulls have had this year?
I would say no.
Who would be the best Bulls backcourt they've had this year?
Josh Giddey is part of that.
Yeah, I think Josh Giddey.
Your guy, Max LaVine, he's a guard.
Yeah.
He's a shooting guard.
I would say Kobe and Zach.
Kobe and Zach would
Kobe
be the
and Zach.
Best. Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make
Kobe
sure.
And Zach. I'm sorry. You're right. I did not. I skirted
off
around the
Max
question.
Max LaVine train.
Okay.
I skirted around it.
You like to dodge.
I think Kobe White and Dude. Josh Giddey are the best version of the Bulls backcourt this year.
That's more love for Giddey than you've given in
yeah,
the past.
That's a first.
That's a first.
Hey, I'm pro Aussie.
Yeah, he's honoring his family on the way
That's
in, right?
You got cousins coming. My two cousins from Australia are coming in to spend a month in the States.
It would be insane for you to take them to Vito's if you've never been there yourself. You should make sure you like it before you take someone to someplace.
Well, I'm going to say if it doesn't go well, I'm going to blame you. And if it goes well, I'm going to credit you.
That's why I feel like there.
Extra pressure.
No, I feel like you would definitely blame me. I doubt you would credit me. I think that Giddey would be in the best backcourt they've had this year. He would be. He's been very good. He was very good for a while there. I also think Kobe has been very good in the backcourt this year. I don't know that the two of them together are the backcourt I would name, though. And that's a problem because moving forward, those are two guys that you probably want to have on your team. Trey Jones has been real good. He's been much better than I expected. And, you know, I'm still kind of trying to figure out the whole Lonzo Ball thing and what they were thinking and why they wanted to do that and what that means moving forward. And it's just something that will need more time and more contemplation, especially, as you say, as they have to move out guys because they've got so many guards on this roster. So something to think about.
Let's make a deal.
I have really enjoyed when Trey Jones has played. It's interesting to hear Billy say things like, you know, he's got a quality to him.
I know. The it factor.
Like that is, that's a guy who knows what that looks like.
Yes.
So I take that as like a real compliment.
Let's face it, on a playoff team, Trey Jones is your perfect backup point guard.
Right.
He's a guy that would come in, change the pace a little bit, do the right things, and not hurt you by protecting the basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So if he can play that role on a Bulls team that is a legit playoff team, I could see keeping him or making a bid for him. If not, he might be too expensive.
Yeah, but I've come around completely on Josh Giddey, so I would include him.
Welcome.
In that. Yeah. Well, I mean, he had to perform, and he did.
And he,
so
yeah.
Don't blame me.
I'm not blaming you.
Don't act like I was late to the party. He was. All right.
He was kind of late.
You were on the party before it began.
Good on you, mate.
Let's get to the extra point. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.